Welcome back to another episode of Tuxedo Time, where we wear tuxedos in this time, podcast edition. What are we talking about today, Peckham?
I was waiting for you to fuck it up, but you didn't. You nailed it.
No, I didn't fuck it up.
We're talking about
talent.
Why are people quitting?
I'm the talent.
Yeah, I know. I tell people that.
I just show up to be on camera.
By definition,
that's the talent, right?
Yeah, you are the talent. You know what?
But you're also the talent.
So I'm working with a brand that we're working on some videos together, and they were asking, like, what is the role of Chris in the channel? And I was like, well, they were like, so who does the editing? And I was like, I do. And they're like, okay.
Who does the filming?
I was like, I do. And they're like, okay, who plans the videos? And then I was like, I do. And they're like, oh, so what does Chris do? And I was like, he's just the talent.
I'm going to burn.
I didn't know how to. I was like, Chris flies the drones. He flies the helicopter. He shows up in the videos, but like Chris has a full-time gig and just doesn't have time to dedicate to it. And he'll do our animations and he'll do some color grading, but like he just kind of shows up and I say, you do the maps. That's animations, but.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
He shows up and I tell him what we're filming and that's what we do.
Just like the podcast. Yeah. I show up. She tells me what we're recording the podcast episode on. I still don't know what it is yet.
Exactly. Today. So I thought it was funny. It's kind of like an ongoing joke that we just call you the talent, even though like you are very capable to run this entire channel by yourself. In fact, our videos would probably be so much better if you added them.
I don't think so. That's you having imposter syndrome.
Maybe. But anyway, yeah. It's
how
just
frustrated you get when you watch me trying to find my way around Premiere because I haven't used it in a while. Yeah, it's true. You know, you're laughing because you know it's true.
I'm like, B.
And then you're afraid I'm going to delete half your timeline.
Yeah, I don't really.
You watch me like a hawk?
I do, yeah. Anyway, today's, I've had a few people reach out and be like, can you please talk about why other people are quitting YouTube? And I was like, no.
People are quitting YouTube?
But now I have some, not context, but I have something to say about it.
Okay.
And so now I feel like, not that I can really say about exactly why other people are quitting YouTube because I haven't really watched those people's videos to see what they have said, but I have kind of a sneaking suspicion that what I'm probably about to say might have something to do with why some people might be quitting, but this is not researched or background checked. So
don't at me, bro.
At me.
Who's quitting?
I don't know. A bunch of people quit YouTube. Like
really?
At the beginning of this year, it was a big deal.
I know Maddie Hopoya.
Maddie Poya quit, and then there was like a bunch of other big YouTubers that I don't follow that quit, apparently.
Interesting.
So I really didn't like, and I still don't really have anything to say. I mean, it's everybody else's business on what they do. If they want to quit, they can quit, and they have their own reasons. But a couple of things that have happened this year had kind of got me thinking about why people might quit. Why people might quit doing YouTube. As you guys know, we cut the video feed on the podcast this year. And a lot of you had mixed reactions. Most of you were really cool with it. So thanks for the support on that. But some of you were like really wanted that connection with the video feed.
They wanted to see my scrotty old hoodie here with like drool
fucking
stains.
Drool stains
on it that you called me on it when we recorded a video earlier.
I think that people miss that connection, right? Like when there's a video feed where you can see faces and you can see expressions, there's a different level of connection with the person you're watching versus when you're just listening. The response to us cutting the video feed kind of got me thinking about why people might be quitting.
The more so the reasoning why we cut the video feed because it was just not sustainable.
Exactly. And I think sustainability is one of the biggest reasons why someone might feel burnt out on their channel or might want to quit. Last going off recording video podcasts, I was dreading it, like dreading setting up the camera, dreading sitting down to record, and then extremely dreading dumping the cards, editing it. And it was just like a 5 to 7 hour process once it was recorded and done to edit the podcast and export it and stuff. And 5 to 7 hours at something that is not making any money is really difficult to, you know, take one day
to justify,
especially if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Or if you're not having fun.
If you think we're recording we're trying to release podcasts once every 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
So 2 weeks is 10 working days, 5 days per week.
Yeah.
And it would take you one of those days. So 10% of your work was going to a non-revenue generating outlet.
That I wasn't enjoying.
That you weren't enjoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That you were dreading. And that's probably why we kind of slumped on the podcast for a couple of years.
For one full year, we didn't post any episodes. And right. That is why.
And as the, even though I'm just the talent, sometimes I'm
the grip, voice of reason.
Sometimes I'm grip and I have to help set up little stands here and there. And when we were going to record the podcast, she was like, hey, can you help me gather the cameras, put the batteries in, make sure this card's in. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to do this anymore. And then we just wouldn't record a podcast.
Exactly.
So like I was feeling it and I'm not even the one doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah. So like you just said, it's not just about it not making money. It's mostly about feeling dread about something that's supposed to be really enjoyable. And I never want to feel dread about my job. I felt dread at my day job back in the day when I worked at a marketing company.
Tell them what you used to do.
I used to go to the bathroom and just sit there on the toilet and just like put my head against the wall and just like stare off into space. I hated it.
Boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time.
Yeah, exactly. Even if I wasn't pooping, I was pooping. Nobody, listen, I have lactose issues. But
what's,
anyway.
What's the statute of limitations on wage theft in Canada? Because if somebody from your old company hears that.
Okay, well, maybe we'll cut that out.
I'm just
no,
kidding.
I didn't actually do that a lot. But I did, last going off right before I left, I was like, I can't handle this shit anymore. I just go to the bathroom, hang out for like a little bit, maybe take a.
You picked up smoking just so you can get an extra break?
Well, that's a whole other thing. Why do people who smoke get a smoke break? But if you don't smoke and you take a break, you're penalized for that. So that's annoying. Anyway, so. What I was saying is not, it's not just about the well, fact
you
that
can't spell penalized without penis.
I said it for you. Listen, back to the thing. When you're talking about like the one out of 10 days doing something that takes
10% of your work,
it's not just about it not making money. It's actually about dreading it.
I'm just saying like if something, it's one thing to dread something, but if you're making like a lot of money from something, you dread it.
It's a lot easier to do it.
Let me be clear. I dread going to my job pretty much every day, but it pays me so much money that I'm like, you know what? I can tolerate this because I'm being compensated, which is well enough for me to put myself through this.
Right. But imagine if you had to go to work every single day and you weren't getting paid at all.
Yeah. But if someone that was just like, oh, you have to do all this extra work. And oh, by the way, we're not paying you for it. And I dread it. Oh, absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, no. It's the first thing to be cut. Yes. I never want to feel like that. The whole reason why I started my own business was to make the calls, to call the shots, and to do as many things that I like as possible and to cut as many things as I don't like as possible. Now, obviously, life comes with shitty stuff that you have to deal with.
And every job has monotony. It's unrealistic to think that there's a perfect job somewhere that does not have any dread and doesn't have any monotony. The whole like, do what you love and you'll never work into your life is bullshit. And it's just, it's crap.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I dislike about, you know, I don't like doing my taxes, but I still have to do them. Mm. I don't love meetings. I don't really love writing emails. I don't like color grading. Like, but these are all things that I have to do, but I don't really dread doing them.
But you also, those are also things that you can hire out, but you also dread having somebody as an employee because then you have to talk to them and give them tasks.
Well, then at what point does your whole focus on being creative and doing whatever the fuck you want to do now focuses on managing a person?
Mm.
So again, it's like your focus gets taken off of the reason why you started this in the first place.
You know, that's an interesting concept that not a lot of people realize, but I've come across it. my new favorite pastime is watching like people's juicy financial like exposés where people are like talking to a financial advisor and like you're just getting all the dirt. And it's like, oh my God, you spent that much money? You have that much, how much debt on what? Oh my God, you have 6-figure credit card debt? What? So, but like one of the things that kind of came up in those is that people who are, I've heard in some cases where people are closer to retirement, like older in age, and they are working jobs they hate because they've always been told to save, but they don't need to save anymore because like they're financially independent already. Like they have enough money to retire now.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, well, it's not that I hate the type of work that I do or was doing, but now like I've moved up in the company and like I'm now in a managerial role and I'm no longer doing the work that I actually enjoy doing, boots on the ground.
Right.
And it's like, oh, so like I've heard financial advisors say like, hey, why don't you like cut back? Yeah, you'll take a pay cut and yeah, it feels wrong, but you're going to A, enjoy your work more, B, have less responsibilities, and C, have more time to yourself and you can just work on your own terms.
Yeah.
Work is now more sustainable. You don't need the money. So who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, that's like an aha moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, you at some point when you start, when you are a business owner, you can fall into the trap of managing people and not actually doing the work.
I think it's a thing that we see with YouTubers a lot. The natural progression looks like start a YouTube channel, grow a YouTube channel, hire a team.
Yeah.
And that doesn't need to be true for everybody. If it's something that appeals to you, great. You know, go for it. But like when I've fallen into the trap of like looking at what my friends are doing and thinking, oh, I should be doing that too. I should be in meetings every day. I should be as busy as they are. I should have an entire team working with me. I should be doing this and that and this and that.
I mean, that is the road to scalability though.
It is. But when you really step back and look at what do I want out of this? What were my goals going into this? And what do I want out of this? If it is scale this business, make as much money as possible, great, go that route. If it is have a sustainable career, love life and have a really healthy work-life balance, maybe not make as much money, but you know, maybe you're enjoying life a little bit more and maybe you like working by yourself, then like that's okay too.
But that's always kind of been our approach, right?
And that's the direction I've chosen. There have been a lot of times where I'm like, oh, I could hire this out, or I could hire that out. And I'm like, or I could just not post a video this week and give myself a little extra time. World's not going to end.
Right.
It's fine. But it goes back to sustainability, right? And being kind of real with yourself. And so when it came to this podcast, when we started talking at the beginning of this year, I was like, I think we should just ditch the podcast. And you were like, well, I don't think you didn't want to let it go. And I was like, okay, well, maybe we can change it up and cut that video feed and just do audio. And now that process of making a podcast is way more stripped down. It's more accessible, first of all, to come down here. Everything's already set up. There's no cameras. Editing is 1/8 to 1/16 of the time.
You can literally do it in a couple hours.
And I have to say it has been so much more enjoyable. I actually really like it. I like editing it and I like recording it. And it's been way more sustainable. We've been able to consistently post every second week.
Yeah.
And I like it. So when I think about why are people quitting, I feel like sometimes the sustainability of this YouTube career can get out of control when we're doing things that we dread, we don't like, or we find ourselves down a niche path that we never really wanted to get into in the first place.
Yeah, the whole like content creator job is a very interesting entity.
Yes.
Like it's almost like looked at as the holy grail of jobs because it's like the ultimate be your own boss, but you can fall into certain traps.
Yeah.
And I think where you were going with that comment was like the trap of the niching down.
Yeah. If you make a video, for example, and that video pops off and then you start chasing the numbers, right? Because you want to scale your YouTube channel. You want to grow that channel. So, okay, well, this video worked. Well, I'm going to make the same video again, same format, and you know, go down that pathway, and you make another video. Maybe it's the same type of topic or the same type of format. And suddenly that video pops off. Oh my, I have something here. You do another one.
And before you know it,
you are so far down a niche rabbit hole.
Before you know it, you're an EV SUV channel with a subspecialization on Rivian products. And I only say that because the last two Rivian videos we did were both 1 out of 10. And I think the most recent one we did is like sitting at like 100, just over 100,000 views now.
We've never really had a video that's popped off ever. Most of our videos consistently have the same kind of views for the last, like ever since we started.
Yeah.
We have one video.
Low to mid five figures.
Yeah. We have one video that has over 1 million views.
But even that one didn't pop initially.
It
was like years.
It was a slow burn.
It was a slow burn, but like it just kept getting views slowly.
Yeah.
And that's over 1 million. Which one was that again?
Turn your bedroom into a home office or home studio or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And then we have like a very small handful of videos over 500K.
And they're all like random like video.
Home videos. Like
video or home tutorials or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're like home tours.
Some of them are like
tutorials.
Your monitor setup. Other ones are like background like YouTube sets.
But because we make vlogs and we make really niche down series, they don't really pop the way, you know, some of those more searchable pieces do.
Right.
So a couple of weeks ago, we posted this Rivian video and it's been up for 2 weeks and it just crested 100K. We've never had a video hit 100K in that amount of time.
Yeah.
I don't think ever. And as we've been doing this a long time now and we've trained ourselves to, we look at the numbers, but we don't make big action based on numbers.
No.
But you can really see how easy it would be to be like, oh, wow, that 2 weeks at 100,000, well, I need to make another Rivian video stat.
Right.
And
before you know it,
you're down the Rivian.
You're a Rivian influencer.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think what happens is that and I'm, like I said, I haven't done research on this or proven this, but this is my kind of like opinion or thoughts, is that I think what happens is that you fall in this trap because you're looking for that pathway of like, what's going to grow my channel and make this a sustainable career where I can put food on the table and pay for my mortgage.
But that's a good point though. But because people like, I can't even imagine what the existential dread would be like as like a full-time content creator that has that as your sole gig.
Yeah.
You know, like you talk about like diversity mm-hmm. or diversifying your existence. And like, I think we have a perfect diversification of a very traditional job, which I hold as a interventional radiologist or as a physician. Mm-hmm. And what you hold as a content creator, like we are on opposite ends of the spectrum as far as like jobs.
Yeah.
But like that diversity, I think really allows us to kind of have multiple or have maximum stability.
Yeah.
And so, but it puts us in a very lucky situation where like you don't have to necessarily say, I'm gonna chase these numbers and just try to maximize every single factor of this channel. It's like, I can make things as sustainable as possible. I don't have to niche down if I don't want to. And I'm not going to like lose sleep wondering where my next paycheck's coming from.
Yeah. I feel incredibly privileged to be in the position that we're in right now, where I feel like I can make whatever I want because I don't need to have every video be a 1 out of 10 or whatever,
right,
in order to put food on the table.
And I also don't feel like I have to take every extra shift at work because there's another paycheck coming in on your side.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so there's that diversity kind of is a symbiotic relationship, I feel like.
Definitely.
But like you were saying, people get burnt out.
Yeah.
People get bored.
Yeah, because suddenly you're down this rabbit hole of like, these videos are performing really well. But then after a period of time, maybe it's like, well, how did this happen? This isn't really why I started or what I really was interested in the first place, but how did I end up here? And now you've pigeonholed yourself.
Yeah.
Because what you originally wanted to make, you feel like you can't make anymore because you kind of, you know, went in this direction instead of, you know, sticking to, and it's hard for me to say because I am in this privileged position where I can disconnect myself from the numbers. If both of us were doing this full time, then I think it might be a little bit of a different story.
We'd be having strategy meetings. We'd be probably putting a lot more thought into a lot of the strategy for the channel, but we don't, because I think if you play the long game, and as long as we've said from the very beginning in 2016, our goal is just to put up authentic stuff that looks nice, leaning on our background and video.
Yeah, and hopefully be able to pay the bills.
And yeah, exactly. But I mean, then back then we weren't even thinking about it as a long-term job. It was just it was just a passion project for you when we took that year in Vancouver. But mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of snowballed into something else altogether. But with that said, like, we've always taken the approach, as long as we're creating content that is authentic to us and it's on stuff that we are passionate about, whatever that may be at the time, it should come across as authentic content to whoever's watching it.
Yeah. And I think too, when it comes to sustainability, like one of the reasons why you see, I'll say niche, but I don't really feel like that's really right, but maybe interests, why you see interests shift with us every 2 or 3 years is because of sustainability. We're trying to make this work as long as possible. We're trying to enjoy this job as a content creator. And so sometimes that means changing up how we're making content, what we're making content about. And the unfortunate negative side of that is that people who once loved your content for what it was 6 or 7 years ago might not like it now because it's changed, because it's changing with you. And that's just something that we have to be okay with, that like, hopefully somebody's going to come along long enough and stick around with us where like, maybe they like us as people and they'll kind of watch us do whatever. Other people came specifically for one type of thing and now we're doing something else and they don't like that. And so they'll move on, and that's okay. But it's something that you kind of have to think about when you're making a channel that maybe follows your interest versus that niche and following the numbers of that niche. Because as your interests change, your audience can also change. And I found that as we've kind of shifted, and I don't really have scientifics to back this up, but like as we've kind of shifted in the last couple of months, like away from some of the other stuff we were doing into more outdoor stuff, like I have seen our subscribers fluctuate way more than
I don't even look at those numbers.
Have.
I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. And maybe I've just been paying attention more for whatever reason.
Yeah. It's definitely a factor of, I think, burnout.
Yes.
And when you are pigeonholed and you've niched down to the point where you can't make anything outside of a narrow silo, you feel trapped and it's almost like a golden handcuff thing where like using views and engagement as the currency. Mm-hmm. And if you post a video and it fucking flops, if you post a video outside of what your niche is and it flops,
yeah,
then you're like, oh, I can't do that because it's like, this is my livelihood. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's very, then you start feeling that dread because you're creating content you don't want to create. And then you get burnt out.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the whole thing and people just are like, I'm done with it. My hypothesis though, if you're telling me that a lot of popular YouTubers are quitting, mm-hmm. it might be a combination of multiple things. Like you've got that happening. They're seeing views start to wane because you also got to think too, like we're looking at it from our perspective of, oh, we're morphing and continuing to evolve as people like everybody does. And in turn, we're allowing our content to evolve with us. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of people who are have to create and garner views, stick in one niche, but the public can get tired of things too, right? Mm-hmm. Like you look at some channels, you look at when people talk about the lifespan of a channel is what, like 4 to 5 years? Mm-hmm. And how many years are we at?
Seven.
And it's just a continued slow burn. We haven't like seen a big rise, a big drop. It's just been kind of a steady burn.
Yeah.
And so like, I just think like we're constantly evolving, but like if we were just doing the same thing, we might've had a bit of a more influx, but it probably would have peaked and then started, you know, contracting. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to the point where you are, if you are a really successful YouTuber for 4 to 5 years, I mean, you can make a ton of money.
Yeah, that's what where I thought you were going with it, where it's like
I am getting going there. That, yeah. Like if you're in that situation where you've made a ton of money, you've treated it appropriately as a windfall in your life and didn't escalate your lifestyle to a 7-figure salary and mm-hmm. you saved 80% of what you were making or a high percentage, you can easily achieve financial independence, i.e. have enough money in investments where you just live off the interest and effectively you can just retire.
Right.
So, you know, you see all these like big time YouTubers who are making 7-figure salaries probably. Mm-hmm. And you just hope, like, I hope you're like stashing that away.
Yeah.
Because like, this is so fickle and volatile that you just, this might not last. And you know, 4 to 5 years go by and the numbers start to wane. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, well maybe these people are no longer finding enjoyment making that content. They're no longer seeing the numbers. They've got enough money in investments. They can just live off that and retire. It's like, why am I doing this anymore?
Yeah.
So maybe that's it.
Yeah. That could be very much it.
Then again, as of 20 minutes ago, I didn't know that everyone was quitting. So who knows? Take what I say with a grain of salt.
Well, like I said, I don't feel qualified to make really any comments on it because I didn't watch anybody's video. So I don't really know like what people were saying about why they quit or whatever.
But this is our podcast, gosh darn.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about what we think. It's all about us. But that's just kind of like what, you know, you see kind of like trends of tweets and stuff like mm-hmm. during certain periods of time where it's like, you know, certain people feel a certain way about certain type of content or somebody's.
It's the flavor of the week and it's just trends.
Yeah. So based on trends, I feel like I've seen a lot of people who are just like, I'm so done with being a niche channel. I want to do whatever I want to do.
And then people talking about those tweets.
Yeah. But then at the other side, like I can see like, hey, I just made a like. Had a healthy career in this and made a lot of money and I invested it and saved in the right ways to the point where you're financially independent and you can just be like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's pretty amazing to be a young adult. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like if I was a big time YouTuber and was making a shitload of money, like would I continue to do this? Probably if I still liked it. But also, I mean, if you add, you know, children to that mix, which some of these YouTubers do have, it's like, well, you're young, your kids are young, you have enough money.
Yeah, it's like, do I need to do this anymore?
Yeah, or is like family the most important thing, and so I'll just spend time with them.
Everything's transactional.
The scary part of it for me, like looking at it, is like if you quit YouTube and you walk away from it for a certain period of time and you want to come back, are your audience still going to be there? And that's kind of scary.
Yeah, that's true, because like I feel like you're always trying to ride the wave, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like tomorrow this could all be gone. And I could definitely see that. Again, that's getting down to that existential dread, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just the fear that it's all going to come collapsing down. You have to milk it, milk, milk. But it's like you always have that mindset of like hustle, hustle, milk, milk, milk it. And then you just always are stuck in like, you know, that gear.
Yeah. The hustle culture part of it is something that I have been trying so hard my entire time of doing YouTube to not get in that trap of.
Yes.
because I just don't think I'm built for that type of life.
You're always like, why am I stressing out about this deadline that I imposed and there's no brand requiring this?
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting conversation to have as this video kind of like popped off and it's like, well, should we make more Rivian videos?
We should make more Rivian videos. And then before we know it, we are a Rivian channel.
Exactly. I do want to make more Rivian videos though. I not necessarily like that one because I think that those videos are great to bring people into the channel, but I really don't like making review videos like that. Like they're really boring to edit.
Yeah.
And so...
Because you, when you say I like editing, you don't mean I like editing like most people do. You mean I like putting together my own stories and putting the puzzle pieces together.
Yes.
And how can I tell this story in an interesting way that may not be linear, which may not have, you know, the standard kind of flow of things. I can pull B-roll from old videos that we have. I can regrade that footage to like match the series. You like the full package.
Yeah. So when it comes to like editing a review or like a sit down and talk kind of video.
So you hate, or a podcast.
Or a podcast. It's like, ugh, like editing an audio only podcast is fine because I can sit there, cut out what I need to, listen to it. I can go edit photos. Oh, there's a mistake. Go back to audition, cut it out. If I'm like watching it, like I have to change all the angles, you know, and do anyways. But what were we just talking about right before I said that about podcast editing? Editing the review thing. So while that video, so if you haven't seen it, we basically made a 7-month update review video of the Rivian and how we liked it, what we like, the gripes basically that have popped up over the last 7 months and what we like and what we don't like about it. So it was a very much like, I'm going to talk to the camera and we're in the car and I'm showing you what I like and what I don't like. It's a great video to bring people into the channel. It's a great video to share our experiences. You really love your Rivian. We've been having fun with it. On the other side, it's just not the most interesting to edit. I recently put up a video where I built like this little charge station in my truck and I had so much fun filming and editing that video. Like probably the most fun I've had in a really long time filming and editing. And like, it's probably not going to do very good. It's not going to bring new people to the channel. I'm sure it's probably going to get like 12,000 views and that's probably it. But like, I just had so much fun. So it's like, if you take a video that has 100,000 views over 2 weeks and it's like, oh, that was a hard one to edit because it wasn't that fun. And then you have this other vlog style video that you had so much fun doing and getting creative shots and it didn't do as well. It's like, well, obviously if you're looking at numbers, it'd be really easy to chase this. And that's how that kind of happens. It's 100%. Like suddenly you're editing all these videos that you really don't like making. And then you forgot about all the creative stuff that you really liked in the first place. The reason why you started.
We're all just rats in a race.
So going forward with Rivian videos, how do you take that creatively shot, creatively edited format and plop that into a Rivian video?
Well, we could go Rivy camping.
I think I'd love to go Rivy camping. I'd love to do a Rivy road trip. I'd love to get a roof rack for the Rivy and put the tent on top and just see what that's like. Mm-hmm. But I really would like to do a Rivy camping road trip. I would love to do the Pacific Coast Highway in the Rivian. I think that would be so fun.
The Pacific Coast Highway is on the other side of the country. That'd be difficult.
Why do you still have a job?
Well,
if you worked with me full time, we could go and do it. But
yeah, but the cruel irony of that is then we would be chasing the numbers because we'd be so worried about where our next paycheck's coming from, just because of the dread of thinking, oh my God, it could all come toppling down.
You're so right. I know, it's like the blessing and the curse of having diverse, you know, about having a joint YouTube channel that is with diversified income.
Yeah,
it's like there's so many things that we would love to do, like so many shows that we have ideas for that we want to do, but like time is our biggest problem and we can only film those shows when you have vacation time. Mm-hmm. And then at certain parts of the year,
I mean, let's be real here, like
yeah,
you get enough vacation time.
I know compared
to normal jobs,
but there's also a certain point where like your job is really taxing, so we have to make sure that you don't burn out too. So that means like you don't get off work and then suddenly get thrown into, because when we make like series and stuff, it's yeah, they're fun to do, but it's not a vacation, it's work. Like we go to film a show, so it's like the whole thing is like a production. So it's not a relaxing vacation by any means.
Yeah. Like us flying across the country in a small helicopter.
Yeah.
While it was an immense amount of fun.
It was an immense amount of work.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And taxing too.
Yeah.
Like it was not a relaxing time for me, but it's fine. I'm fine with that because it's like an adventure.
Right. So it's a weird thing where it's like, yeah, you get the vacation time and yeah, we have all these shows and trips we want to do, but then also we have to make sure like, are you okay? Like, do you need a vacation? Do we need to go to like a beach and just sit there and do nothing?
Oh God, what a dreadful experience.
Yeah. But you remember like 1 week you were like, I need to do that.
I feel like in theory I need to do it, but then like I get there, I'm like, oh, I'm so hot and sticky.
Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Bored. And then when I'm bored, I just pull my phone out, and then I feel like garbage because I spent the whole day consuming junk drawer content.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think that doing like an overlanding trip to like a beach area would be kind of fun, because you have the monotony of like doing the camp chores.
There you go.
He's like, no. I'll do it with you. Okay, well, I think that we're 30 minutes on the clock, so we're going to end it here. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to, I don't know, how do we end this?
I don't know. See you guys in the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Bye.